Blog Talk Radio.
Today I'm calling from Hot Atlanta, Georgia, in one of our new studio situations that we have. We'll be broadcasting, for at least for my part, in the near future from Atlanta. Today's show is about relationships, in particular the so-called 90-day rule. I know you've heard of it. I know you have an opinion on it. It's been a debate at parties, in the workplace. It's the subject of a couple of books. And as always, the DSD crew is prepared to dig deep and tell you what you want to know. The way only Downsize and Dirty can. Today, we're going to have fun with this. I want you to call in, give you your 2 and 3 cents, the 90-day rule. Harlem ATL, you know what we do. So share some light and drop some knowledge on this 90-day rule.
Harlem, 90-day rule? Who comes up with this shit? You know where to find me, HarlemATL.com. As I approach my fourth year of celibacy, my birthday, and yet another holiday pass, the emptiness and the loneliness begin to set in and grow. So I dream of a white Christmas minus the snow. You are my Alehi. God has blessed me. I trust you with my life. You are my bestie, my best friend. My buddy, you hold my royalties inside your court. You protect my jewels, but please take note. Your loyalty and support is most important. So when you unlock and unfold my blessing, this offering right here desperately is in need for your concentration. Grab hold and place me inside thy port, for I need to rest. Oh, Bella, oh, Jesus, oh, you make me feel so, so special. Your voodoo works like magic. Please don't stop. Just don't stop. Keep it right there. Your tongue right there. Keep it right. Oh, God, your wetness is forever. With no hands, you slowly walk me to the peak of the mountain, the beautiful waterfalls below. The plane flies overhead, wheels project, the runway in sight, touchdown and splash. Daddy's home. Your fountain of youth now discovered, your face now covered, glistening, and smothered pork chops between your legs. You moan as I bay, lickety-split. This girl is showing up smooth with her shit. Relationships. Everybody's heard the saying, a happy wife, a happy life. But what about a full stomach and an empty penis? Ladies, I'm going to cut to the chase. When your man wants to hang out with the fellas, fuck your man before he leaves the house. You heard me. Make them come about 3 times, and trust me, if you don't already know, he ain't going nowhere. If he doesn't leave the house, you don't think you have anything to worry about. I definitely don't think you have anything to worry about. because he's not going to have anything much left to offer anyone. That's right. I think you should choke and slob down on this dick. Until he pulls you up and says, baby, let's just cuddle. And one more thing. We are not trying to be, at least I'm not, trying to be anybody's footstool to springboard your next relationship. Trust me, I will not educate a snake to grow feet nor sprout wings. Trust me, I got those questions for you. Like, for example, what I want to know within this show, how many of you will admit to snooping? She snoops, he snoops, we all snoop, or do we?
Yeah.
I want to talk about the hostage list, your personal list of demands, and the closing of the candy shop. When he's not working, does he still get to mass? And if so, for how long? What turns you on and what turns you off? When it comes to the 90-day rule, talk to me, baby girl. Is this 90-day rule universal? Or does the rule change if we're vibing in Atlantic City or Jamaica? I have to be honest. If I'm feeling and you're feeling me, why can't we just get this party started, right? I mean, why does a brother have to get familiar with a cold shower and a bar of soap? So in those 90 rule questions, I want to know, is that realistic or is there a method to her madness or her concept? During this period in 90 days, are we going Dutch? Should men enforce a 120-day rule to trump your 90-day rule? Mm-hmm. I want to talk about smash and dash without spending any cash. I want to know your insight on that. How soon can we go in raw? Group sex, is this an option? Is this a turn on or turn off? I want to talk about oral sex, ladies. Can you do without it, or is it a must? Ladies, when the pipe is not long enough, is that a deal breaker? As for the men, I want to ask you a question as well. I ain't leave you out. When the elastic snap don't pop, you know what I'm talking about. When heaven's gate are flapping just like her mouth. You know what I'm talking about, brothers. I'm talking about when it doesn't feel like home, when it feels like it belongs to someone else. Do we start looking outside the window? And back to you, ladies, I want to know, does he have to have a 401k? Does he need to have a car to get with your love? You know, does he have to have a career? Does he have to have a house to receive your love? These things, these questions, I want to know. I want to ask. Christy, you have a take on this?
Well, you know, in my own light of things, I don't, you know, I'm going to take the sex out of it because I think sometimes we focus too much on that. I want to bring up the fact that maybe, you know, we need to start looking at people's backgrounds, the consistency that they provide into our lives. But as I'm speaking more from having and wanting a purposeful life. So it depends on what your motives are in life, what your intentions are. I think that determines what you're going to be looking for in a person. I don't know if my guest caller is on the line, but I was expecting a call from a gentleman by the name of Ola Akinwule. Ola, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I want to introduce Ola because Ola has always a very interesting perspective, and Ola and I are always debating about different topics in life, and I love his conversation and his opinions. He's California-based. He's calling us from California right now. He's an IT professional. I've known Ola for quite some years. And Ola kind of gave me a quick perspective of what he thought about relationships. One thing that he said is we need to start looking at people's backgrounds. He also stated
like
to me that.
Check?
Well, no, I think Ola can give you more information about that. Ola, would you like to expand on that?
Oh, sure. Hi. When I mentioned about background, I'm just talking about in terms of the upbringing, demographics, cultural backgrounds, in terms of, you know, that actually helps one understand the personality and the characteristics of the person and how they actually can interact with others in a social gathering or just personal or individual base as well.
Okay.
So... when she was just
you're not
telling
coming,
me, sorry.
You're not coming from no Steve Harvey type of angle, are you?
Nope. Mine is basically when I heard about the 90-day rule in terms of Steve Harvey. I just said, well, Steve Harvey is only speaking based on what he knows, the area where he grew up, you know, the environment where he grew up, what he was exposed to. But he can't speak for the whole world globally. His book can only resonate with people who actually grew up in that same type of environment. So if you're telling me someone from Holland or someone from Zimbabwe or maybe someone from South Africa should read that book and all say, I agree with it, or they wouldn't understand where he's coming from because he's only talking based on what he grew, whatever city or town or country where he grew up and the mentality that actually resonates in that same environment.
Right.
You know, and I would like to just step in for a minute because I know Ola personally, and not to bring up, you know, any personal business, but I know a young lady who was very interested in Ola at one time. Ola and I actually used to work together in Detroit, Michigan, and I had a good friend who really, really dug Ola. She liked Ola so much, but because I was her friend and as her and Ola dated, one of the things that she told me was that Ola, he came from a different background internationally. And so I think over the course of time, she got to understand him better as to some of the things that he would do that she didn't quite understand. And I think that's where Ola may be referencing, you know, when we meet someone, we may want to try to understand more about them as a whole entity. Even if you take culture out of it, and if you think about the people who really last the longest, and I saw this on CNN one day where it was an older man, and he said the problem with people, the reason why marriages don't last is because a lot of times people aren't growing up in the same environment. He said, so you might meet someone, let's say you're from California, you move to Arkansas, you have no idea what this family's background is like. He said one of the things that's important a lot of times it's just getting to see the person for the whole picture. So if you look at some of these old school relationships, these people met in high school. They've been knowing each other forever. And so they know each other's soul. They know what they're about. So I think now what we have to look at is in order to have a fulfilling relationship, to me personally, you've got to know that person's soul. You have to know what their purpose is in life. You know, before I actually settled down into a relationship, I actually purposely, intentionally went out and would date I would date and ask guys questions. I would ask them, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I did this for a purpose. Usually the first question that I would ask, where do you see yourself in 5 years, there was a long pause because they had not even thought of 5 years ahead. They hadn't even thought about the direction of their life. So that was usually a no-no for me because I want someone who has a little direction. Now, I know we may not know if we're going to live 5 years, but I want to know that you have a reason for living and you're not just living your life in any type of way. So that was something that was important to me.
Well, can I chime in for a second? And this is Scout. Because I'm feeling where you're coming from with it because, you know, I've been asked that question also when I was in my younger days and I was asked, you know, where do you see yourself going? It may not have been a 5-year, it may have been a 10-year question, a 2-year question, but women would ask me that question, where did I see myself? But see, the problem is I've always had a plan. And so I've always had an answer for that. And, Christy, you've known me for a while. I usually have an answer for everybody. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't know, you know, some people don't tell me that's a negative, that's a positive. But the thing is, when, you know, Ola is talking about getting to know someone's background, this, than the other, I think it's very important. I think we talked about this on a show previously about getting to know people's backgrounds. Because if you marry somebody and they come from a working class family, and you may be from an entrepreneurial class family, there's two different ways of thinking there. Automatically. Let's say, you know, we're talking about culturally. You know, let's use the Eskimos, for instance, or any other group of people on the planet. Sex in relationships are dealt with in a completely different context than what we deal with here in America, just based on this crazy, and I call it hypocritical, religious sentiment, we stick to everything where we act like we're very pious, but we're really not. And, I mean, I believe sometimes we hold ourselves to standards that we don't even expect ourselves to meet. Because, just like Derek, I think the 90-day rule is a bunch of shit. And not being, you know, just because of the simple fact you don't know who you're dealing with to impose, who are you to impose rules on somebody that you don't even know what their rules are. This person may have a 120-day rule. So you're finding yourself still being cut short because you are now sitting 30 days off of what it is. So,
Ola, I would like to know your thoughts.
I understand where you're coming from, bro, regarding the 90-day rule. Personally, I do. I mean, I agree. regarding the 90-day rule, I actually was discussing this with my girlfriend. It's okay for some people. They might need some sort of a guidance as well. But I do not agree with it because I said it's all down to the individual. Whoever wants to get in a relationship, I mean, for example, you meet someone. It could be the girl meeting the guy or the guy meeting the girl. And you have to first think about it. What was your initial reason for having this sort of contact? Did you plan on meeting someone? No. Did you, or if it's yes, sure. Did you happen to meet someone, you had a conversation, you struck up a conversation, you realize, hey, we're feeling each other, you decide, hey, let's continue with this. Let's meet up on a later day. They'll catch up later. And from there, maybe you do have some sort of interaction that kind of leads on to something else. You kind of like each other. You like each other's company. And that develops as time goes on. I know personally that as an individual, when you're feeling somebody and you realize, hey, maybe I started seeing this person once a week. It turns out to be almost twice a week, three times a week. I call this person almost daily. Or maybe now it turns out like almost out of the 24 hours a day, you're calling this person every couple of hours. And you now know you're developing an interest in this person. I'm sure you would know definitely by yourself, you know what you're feeling for this person, and maybe vice versa if the feelings are mutual. And you will see based on some of the actions that's going on between both of you, the things or the interaction you're having with this person would actually help lead to that point for you to understand, hey, maybe I am developing something nice with this person. It still boils down to the individual. I can't speak for the other party, but my interaction with the other party will sort of kind of make me make some assumptions or also have me have some beliefs. And that's where I might start throwing out questions. So we might ask questions just like the other brother, I didn't get your name earlier, the host who was asking, like you might start asking questions like just to feel out the other person, like are we on the right track? I could ask you questions like how do you feel about me? That's when you start having a deep conversations regarding your life to see where you might lead. And that also brings in about Christy's questions, like asking questions like, okay, where do you see yourself in 5 years? So when you talk about the 90-day rule, I'm sure there are people who might need more than 120 days before they actually do what they need to be get done, but you don't have to set it down as the base rule. You can set it out as a guidance, and if maybe 10 days into which you feel the person, it's up to that individual to decide if they want to go ahead. But having it to be a 90-day rule, I really don't know where Steve Harvey pulled that from. I don't know if he spoke with Einstein or maybe he did some astrophysics calculation for him to decide 3 days rule. I mean, 90-day rule. I think I remember he made a reference to job employment. You have to go through a probationary period, and he was referencing that. Well, a relationship is not supposed to be considered a job. It's supposed to be something fun and something that you want it to last a lifetime. So I don't, and I don't get that.
Isn't there some form of kind of similarity of the two? When I ask that, like when you go on a job interview, I mean, you're putting your best foot forward. You want to answer all the right questions. Ain't that the same thing when you're dating? You know, you're putting your best foot forward, so to speak. You know, Christy talked about the five year question. You know, where you see yourself in 5 years. See, I'm from the hood. See, other people are from a community or a neighborhood. In the hood, when you ask a brother a question like that, we thinking she's trying to figure out where we figuring out whether or not if this is a trick question, you know, to see whether or not if we answer it properly, and we don't know how to answer that question. So we'll get a pause for the most part. But a clever brother will probably be prepared for it. All right, depending on how smooth he is. And he'll spill out as far as his plan, and he'll make sure, hopefully, that he can include her in his plan. You know, so
I agree.
Those type of questions, you know, 90 days, like in the hood, you tell a brother you got to wait 90 days, then we going off to the next week. We look at her not as a challenge. We look at she's on some bullshit. She's looking to cash out, meaning she's looking for it to be wise, to be done, to be able to have a round table discussion with her girlfriends and laugh and talk about, yeah, girl, I got that nigga waiting. He taking me here, he taking me there, and I ain't giving him up nothing. And they check him every week, checking, did you give him some? Did you give him some? And try to hold it to it. You know, them girlfriends don't got no man. You know, I don't want to fuck with no chick like that.
Well, here's where I think our mentality levels are beginning to, they're beginning to surface. I believe that if you ask somebody, where do you see yourself in 5 years, and they've got to start to scheme on their response to you, that should be the first sign that that person is not going to be healthy for you. I also believe that if for a woman, just let me finish 1 second. I also believe that for a woman, if you hear a woman refer to a man as a nigger, that it should be a sign to a man that she is not the woman for him. I believe that especially in this day and age where we have so much, you know, negativity about us as far as calling each other bees, referring to each other as ends, I think we need to take it, step our game up, and we, you know, whether you're from the hood or not, because I know people that are from the hood, and you would not even equate their mentality with being from the hood. You know, I think we need to be very cautious about who we define as being a mate in our lives just because they can take us out for some wine and dine us. Here's my question for you guys once we get off the 90-day sexual center. The question to me would be, do two people uplift each other? Is this person, can they uplift you in a time of need? Can they uplift you when you just need someone to talk to? Those are the things to me that would make me look at this person a little bit more. 90 days is based on a sexual assumption. I'm sorry, but I would not want my mind to go there when I'm first meeting someone. To me, you're talking about a job. I heard the question, isn't meeting a person like a job? No, I do not think so at all, because you can go to a job seeking money because you don't even like the job. I think that when we talk about a relationship, we're talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You're talking about human rights. Your job doesn't always allow for you to have the pursuit of happiness. So
can
I think
I
you're talking about
second?
Two separate things. Huh?
No, you misconstrued what I meant regarding job. What I said, the 90-day rule that was placed in, that was actually...
No, I wasn't referencing you, though. I was referencing the question that Derek had. He said, isn't it the same as being on a probationary period from the 90-day rule? And I'm saying no, I don't think that it is.
No, I understand where he was coming from regarding putting your best foot forward. Most people, when you meet someone new, I mean, you want to impress them. You would say certain things just to impress so you can get on the good side. I mean, this
Thank
is
you.
Something that happens mostly for the guys. It's always easy for the women to, if a girl goes up to a guy and says, hey, I like you, would you go out with me? 99.19% of the time, the guy will say yes. But
Amen.
If the guy goes up to a girl and says, hi, how are you? My name is so-and-so. What's yours? I bet you 99.9% of the time, before the girl would actually answer him to say yes, maybe, or no, she would assess him first, look him up to from the top to the bottom, kind of figure out, like, is this somebody that's worth my time to even talk to, or do I think he has the potential? And then if she doesn't even say maybe, I mean, for her to even say yes, she would say maybe first to hear what he has to say before she makes the next assessment to decide, okay, my name is so-and-so. Let me see where this will go. So it's always, the guy is always at a disadvantage when we talk about the both parties in terms of meeting each other to start from somewhere. So the guy always has to bring his A game to talk to the female party. If he doesn't bring his A game to the female party, like you said, when you go to a job interview, it's all about the moolah, the money. Of course, when you're talking about a man and a woman, the guy has to bring his A game because he has something that he's trying to gain. The woman, on the other hand, she has the power in that particular time. Let me finish. The woman has the power. When a guy walks up to a woman, unless the guy has a mindset that says, hey, you know what, I don't care. If there are so many fishes in the river, if I talk to this one, if I'm myself, if I tell her what I'm about, if she's not happy with it, too bad. I can find somebody else. But that is not always the case. So when we're talking about, I'm just talking about initial contact. I'm not even going into the point where you now leave the initial contact to get to the point of relationship, which now falls into the 90-day rule. But when the guy's already established himself by putting the A game forward and said things that would kind of get the girl to agree or to go with him or accept him, he has to put on that persona throughout the relationship. From the start of the relationship where they started having contact as friends, hanging out, doing stuff, he has to continue putting on that image for him to get to that point where the 90-day rule might apply, where the girl might decide, hey, you know what, I think he's the right guy for me. But if he's not being true to himself, trust me, within the next couple of days or weeks, it will start to show in his actions, in his behavior, in his personality. And then that's where there might be some sort of conflict, and it either part ways, or if she feels like, I really like the guy, regardless of what I've seen, she sees the truth about him, that all these things that he's doing does not really match up with everything he's been saying, but she still wants to continue with it, then that's where there might be some sort of a problem on both sides of the party.
That, to me, is a given. Like, I guess we're talking about two different things. To me, we're talking about people who are going into something, basically they're liars. I mean, you know, that's basically what you're saying. People are liars.
Yeah.
To me, that's what
yeah.
it would be. You're a liar.
Yeah.
I guess for me, I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about people who have good intentions, who really want to meet someone, and they have a purpose in life. Take yourself. I mean, I've always seen you as a person that had a purpose from the very first time that I knew you. You always carried yourself consistently. You know, and I'm pretty sure that the woman that you met, she pretty much probably shows the same pattern. So I guess what I'm talking about is if we can move away from the fakers and shakers, and I guess what I'm saying is if we can help people identify ways in which to meet healthy people, because I think people already, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, we know when someone isn't being truthful with us. We may put it, you know, on a back burner. We may say, oh, I'll give them another chance. But trust me, somewhere along the line, the person has shown you that they are a faker and a shaker. And if someone within a couple of weeks is already changing from the way they were when you met them 2 weeks ago, and if you still choose to date them, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. But I'm speaking more from an aspect of, how do you help people? Well, really, you know, what do we say to men and women out here who are looking for something better in their life? And they're like, look, I have a purpose. You know, I want to be the next Obama, or I want to be the next Oprah Winfrey, and I don't want to just bring anybody along with me. How do we help these people? What should they do to be able to find some sort of consistency for a healthy relationship? I guess that's more where my mind frame is.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me chime in for a second.
Can you guys hear me?
I'm hearing
Hello?
You. I'm hearing where y'all coming from here.
Hello,
and
can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah,
like,
we can hear you. Hi, I'm just listening. I'm a caller. My name is Joan. But I was listening to what you guys talked about from the sex part that I think Derek brought up, and then it went on to
what women are thinking about when they have a date, I would just like to say that a lot of people who are dating, everybody is very different when they have the meaning. As Christy said, the meaning to dating. Some people look at it as, you know, going out, just having a great time, meeting people, going out on dates, whereas there's some people who are looking for the purpose to get married, to do whatever they feel is important in their lives. But what we have to make people understand is that it's a process. A lot of times we meet somebody, we think right away they should give up their sexuality or they should have sex, but sometimes that's not right for each individual, has a different purpose. Some people can carry having sex right away after the 90-day rule. Some people can go on to get married and be married for 50 years and have sex on the first date. I think it's about maturity level. If you're dating and you're immature, then you're going to get a little riffraff. But if you're mature about what you want and what you think, then those things are going to be profound. My question is, when you're dating, do you have to disclose everything about yourself when you're dating? I hear a lot of women say, oh, he lied to me because he didn't tell me this. But is that fair for you to say he's lying to you? Because does he have to disclose everything about himself if you're dating? I'm going to just talk about dating. I thought we were talking about just dating. I didn't know you guys were talking about getting married. Hold up, let me finish, and then you guys can address the question. Because dating is a process of elimination, I guess, for some people. But then for some people, dating is just, you know, going out to dinner, having a great time, enjoying each other. They move on to the next person. So you have to identify which way you guys, Chrissy said it's all about purpose. So I was just wondering, like, you know, what is it you guys consider dating to be for each of you who are on the panel?
Can
I go next? I like her question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do too. Because you brought up a very pertinent point, because people do date for different reasons. And some people, mm-hmm. I believe everybody is dating for a purpose, but I don't think all purposes are positive. Okay?
Exactly.
So some people are just out there having fun, you know. They just doing their thing. Some people out there looking for a soulmate. Some people looking for a baby daddy. Some people looking for a sugar daddy. Some people are looking for somebody to be their soulmate. Because you can go out there, and I'm a guy, and I done went through all kinds of phases of life. There was a phase when I was in the smash and dash era, where all I wanted to do was go out and get me some. So if you talk about that 90-day rule, you can cut that, because it's on to the next one, who's going to give me what I want. Then that was right when I was in the military. Then you had the period when I was starting to say, okay, I'm ready to settle down. I want something meaningful out of life, this, that, and the other. But when you start going in and you want to know more about the person that you're dealing with, you want to know more about the person, and you want to let them know more about you, because you're trying to see if there's something to feel now. You asked that question about should a guy have to tell everything to a woman, because I can tell you, being married twice, you don't get everything from them. Women are very selective about what they tell you, because they know we're very narrow-minded. They know there are only two or three things that we're hitting on anyway. We're thinking, one, can I hit? Two, can she wife in material? And three, can I take her home to my mama? And wiping material and taking home to your mama are two different things. So, I mean, it just, you know, so there's so much better. I feel like from the standpoint of being a man, listening to women who are imposing rules, they are imposing rules basically as an insurance policy for themselves, because I know that we do have a tendency as brothers to go out there and break some hearts. But, I mean, Derek, shoot it at,
because
oh my God, my mind's
blown
on that one.
Well, Joe, I want to say, hey, how you doing, Joe?
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for calling. You asked a question in regards to, do we disclose everything? Now, I don't really have a problem with putting everything on the table. I do believe that we should, you know, come together, sit down, and put everything on the table. But then there's a side of me, I want to know, do you deserve to know my personal business? Are you qualified? What makes you qualified? You know, like, for example, let's say I have children. Let's say I have eight children. Are you
asking me this question because you're going to help me take care of my 8 children? Or are you asking this question to let you know what money is not coming in our household if we decide? I want to know your motive. I want to know, are you married? Have you ever been married? Have you ever been in a lasting relationship? I want to know where you are in life when you ask this question. Is your biological clock ticking? So you're asking these questions to check off. It's like a checklist. And I think a lot of women, what they do, not all women, but a lot of women, and maybe I should say some women, they play on the power of the pussy, what they're sitting on, and they know that they hold the prize. So they can ask or feel that they can ask anything and come out the side of their face. See, one of my theories, and it's not a shallow theory, it's a theory with some form of understanding.
Someone has a lot of background noise, if we could lower the background noise.
That's why in most cases I deal with ugly women. You don't got to deal with none of that bullshit with the 90 days, right? I deal with a woman that's appreciative that a brother comes home. A brother's trying to be in her life. You know, all this checklist things, I mean, that's normally women with higher education, and they forget the basics. You know, they let their master's degree or PhD, they get full of self. You know, and I think the higher you get in education, the more clever you get. Just like the brother Ola, he sounds like a very intelligent individual, level-headed, but he knows where I'm coming from. He knows how to play the game. The more educated you are, the more better you're able to play the game. That's why. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something.
Can we hold that down on the background noise, please? It's really, you know, overtaking the conversation.
Sir, that was
I was going on a job interview, and I wore, you know, I was wearing the right attire for as a suit. When I got on the bus, the sister made it her point to speak out loud so I could hear it, and she said, "I can't stand a man in a suit. Give me a nigga and Timberlands and some jeans, and it's on. I know where he's coming from." And I'm saying to myself, I know how to play all sides of the fence, not just both sides of the fence. I'm that brother she's describing as well, whether I'm in a suit or in jeans and Timberlands. She doesn't know my situation. She just prejudged me. She just throwing a, I have an issue with that as well. She didn't even try to tap into the individual, that the beautiful individual that I could possibly be. She prejudged me. She don't know if I did jail time and I gotta walk differently. She doesn't know where my mindset is and why I am in this suit. You know, there's some brothers that can't wait to wear the mask. I happen not to be one of those brothers, one of those individuals. But I like your question. Should I disclose everything? I think that you should, just like these women who are semi like Olivia Pope watching, trying to be without minus the wardrobe. She'll say, "Earn me, earn my love. You know, work for me." I think it goes both ways. I think you should earn my respect, and you should definitely earn my love. That's just my.
I want to go back. Hold on. I want to go back. I want you to explain something to me, because I'm still sitting over here laughing and cringing at the same time about the ugly woman. Because I heard some laughs in the background. You're going to have to explain that. You're going to have to explain the ugly woman thing.
Before you do that,
let me do some housekeeping right quick. Callers. If there are callers out there, people listening to the show, you can call in at 657-383-0995. Again, that is 657-383-0995. Now, go ahead, explain the ugly woman thing, because you got me tripped out.
All right. The ugly woman, it's a play on what society considers to be what's fine. What's fine and what's beautiful, and how they define it. The ugly woman, that's what I want. I want the opposite of what society says is that's fine. I don't want that. With me, what I've learned, the fine woman, she comes with issues. She comes with baggage. She comes with a fine issue. She comes with a fine problem. and a fine price tag. You know, she's almost never happy. A fine sister, for the most part, is a mentality. It's a mindset versus that beautiful woman who is considered to be ugly, unattractive. I'd rather have her, you know. So it's not one of those sisters who is hard to look at, you know. She's beautiful with inside. She's beautiful all around, and she's well-balanced, you know. So that's my definition of that ugly woman. I'll take that sister who is least sought after. You know, this has nothing to do with my ego or my self-esteem. There's no low self-esteem. It's that I'm able to see her, being able to see her for who she is, and I'm not judging her. And she's doing the same for me, and we're loving each other. You know, there's no hidden motives, you know, no hidden agenda. And I think these are certain qualities that I look for the long haul. You know, not just because you got to remember, we live in a microwave society. And with that said, in a microwave society, people expect things to happen in an instant. They want a quick turnover. And we're quick, all of us, both of us, we're quick, male and female, to throw our hands up. And when I find a sister that's about a sister, see, there's a difference between a sister and a woman. You know, a sister, a woman, and a girl. Girl's mentality. I don't care if you're 34, I don't care if you're 44 or 54. You still can have, and many of us do, have a childlike mentality. And that's my definition of wanting and desiring that ugly woman. You know, so I would joke and I would say, you know, hey, give me an ugly woman anytime. You know, I could tell her that I'm going to go to the moon, and she'll tell me to be careful and make sure I got enough money in my pocket to get there and back. You know, that woman still, when I come home, there's going to be a plate in the microwave waiting for me. She's still loving me. You know, she's accepting me for me, that woman. I want that woman who accepts me, for everything that I am not. And a lot of sisters, the fine sisters, they know that the line is long for their love. And they don't have time to waste with a guy that's not showing them. As a matter of fact, a fine woman, she's a diva. And you have to understand what a diva is. A diva lives and stands on a one-way street. When in a relationship, it's a two-way street. You know, a diva, she believes that it's 50-50. When actually in a relationship, it's 100-100. That diva who believes in that 50-50 relationship, she's holding back 50. And this is just not only for a woman. There are male divas out there, you know, male divas, fine male guys who are out there that are womanizing and knowing that the price is high for their love and their attention. So
Kristen, let me ask a question. I have two questions.
Yes, sir.
First one, when you're talking about ugly women and fine sisters, are you talking based on their physical attributes or you're just talking in general, like a woman in general? I want to understand what you mean by ugly sisters and fine sisters.
Yeah, because that's where I'm getting lost.
Right. When you first hear the concept that give me an ugly woman, it's really to start the conversation like we're doing right now, all right? Talking about, on the surface, we're talking about attractive versus unattractive. What's attractive to me and what's attractive to the next person? What's attractive to me is not what society says what is beautiful.
Okay.
And that's where I'm coming from.
So basically, you're coming from the angle of beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So you're talking about physical appearance. So a sister who is definition of this. So a sister who's the BBW level, you know, chunky.
Yeah. I like those. I like women like that. Go ahead.
So, and then what about the women who are like 100 and like Christie's body size, like her shape?
It's a spirit. Okay, brother, it's an ugly woman. What I'm talking about
I'm looking for
a beautiful
spirit.
I think he's talking about what most
spirit.
Men don't go after, the woman that most people wouldn't go after. He's not trying to be in a group where everybody wants
a
light skin.
Hi, we have a caller, a guest caller on the line. But, hello?
Hello?
Hello? We have a guest caller.
No, I'm not for
speak.
Jerry. I just think
hello, we have a guest caller? Guest caller?
I'm saying hello.
Hi, is this John V.S. Fogel?
It's John V.S. Fogel.
Hi, everyone. This
Hi.
Is John V.S. Fogel. She's the author of Sex, Single, Sexy, and Satisfied. And I invited her because she does relationship forums. I think the last one she held in New York. And I would like for her to sort of jump in and give us a background of herself. And right now, John Viez, we're talking about our co-host here, Derek, said that he only dates ugly women because I guess they give him more of what he desires, such as keeping a hot plate warm for him, and I'm not sure. But anyway, he said that ugliness is based on the physical attribute, is based on the spiritual attributes and not the physical. So I don't know if you'd like to chime in on some of this conversation or not.
Okay, well, that you know what, brother? I can honestly see where you're coming from with that because I see there's so much more in a man who is unattractive. You know, everyone thinks because I'm a trainer I need a guy who has a six-pack abs and, you know, 6 feet and, you know, a great body. But that's nice. But sometimes they're so shallow that it's like, damn, all of this is just a waste. Right?
Well,
and
I
then
love
when
her.
You have somebody that.
I love her already.
Huh?
Yeah.
I love you already. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm just saying, it's just like unattractive guys, they just, yeah, the spiritual, you know, is a lot. The mental, you know, the physical, of course, we all want somebody that, you know, we want that Will and Jada love, that Barack and Michelle love, which is fine, you know, and if you are blessed enough to have somebody that's attractive inside and out, then you are absolutely lucky in this day and time. You know, we women just have it hard. Half the guys, I mean, I live in New York, half the guys out here are freaking gay. No offense to anyone, but, I mean, who are we going to have left? No, who are we going to have left as women in like 5 years? Because everybody is freaking gay. And, you know, it's just crazy. So sometimes that leads you to either you're going to date a guy who's unattractive or you're going to date a guy who's seeing someone or you're going to date a guy who's married because I don't want to say that's all that's left because there are amazing men all over the place. There are amazing women all over the place. But, you know, like you said, I guess unattractive people are a little bit more easier to deal with. I don't know.
More humble.
Can I ask a question though? When people use the term unattractive or attractive, I always assume. I mean, my belief was it's always in the eye of the beholder. You can say to you that person is unattractive, but to the other party that could be their Mona Lisa. So when you're using the term of being unattractive or attractive, I always say first off, it comes as a whole package. You can see somebody who looks like one of the Kim Kardashians or like Beyonce. But maybe by the first word or the first sentence that comes out of your mouth or basically your interaction for the first 60 seconds, you already felt like, you know what, hey, she might be fine, but guess what? She's not beautiful to me because I don't really feel her on a certain level. I can't cope with the interaction. I don't think that me and this person can be compatible to have conversations or even flow or do things or have fun. Whereas you could actually, like my brother was saying, that to him, the ugly sisters or the fine sisters, the ugly ones, are the ones that might feel like, hey, you walk up to them, she might not be ugly, she might not be fine, according to the society standards. But to him, he sees some sort of attraction to her. It might not just be physical only. It could be also maybe the manner of things that she's doing, her behavior in the area, and how she interacts with even with the people around her. And that might be what was attractive to him. He was talking about being caring. I mean, to be honest, I've had my fair share of ladies as well that I see who was very caring, who are very like emotionally stable, and they were very supportive. To some other people, they're like, hey, I can't deal with that kind of woman. And for me, I'm like, well, that's up to you because you really, all you focus on is just the physical attributes, but yet you haven't heard anything from this person. You haven't interacted with this person for you to know how far their beauty goes. I mean, and then on the other hand, there are the women, too, who fall within the society standards. You know, the ladies that have their manicures and pedicures, they don't have to have their the massage, go to the, you know, to the spa every week or whatsoever, and like they hold themselves up as divas. But that doesn't mean that it's not all of them who actually hold into that status as being stuck up, or like I can't do for nobody if the person can't do for me. You get what I'm saying? There are others like that. That is their own personality. They like to look good. They like to take care of themselves. They like to make themselves feel good. But they're also caring as well. I've had my share of those kind of people. They're very caring and supportive as well. So it still comes down to the individual. We're talking about the 90-day rule. I mean, I don't want us to divert from the topic, which is sex before 90 days or after 90 days. The sister who came on earlier talking about it's up to the individual. You could have sex on the first date and have a long-lasting relationship, or you could have sex on the 91st day. And after you had sex on the 91st day, the 92nd day, you go separate ways. Well, so it still comes up to the individual as to...
Pardon me, but, yeah, you realize you wasted all that time, and they're corny. So that's just a waste of time. I would never wait that many days.
Someone said something about waste. When you're looking at things in a negative way, to me, I never believe in the word called waste or failure. You know why? Because without waste or failure, you'll never be where you are today. So
yeah, of course, but we're talking about sex. That's totally different. That's totally different from an everyday life. Sex is different. I'm 4 years old, so I've been through experiences. I'm just saying, as a woman, I'm never going to wait 90 days again. That's my experience, and that's my opinion.
I understand. So that's what I'm saying, like, that's your opinion. So when people use that term, I say, when you focus so much, I mean, I dealt with somebody whose focus was sex. Like, sex is like the most, the alpha and omega of everything. Like, this is the diamond, this is the jewel. Before I have sex, the person must have this, must have that, must be here, must do this. And I said, well, if that's your focus, then you fail to focus on the right things, because the things that could lead up to that point, you don't have that. Because all you think about is the sex is what defines your relationship. So sex is what defines your relationship. Whereas the things that actually should define your relationship, you're not focusing on that. And in my opinion, to some people, sex is the alpha and omega, and to some, it's just an activity. And to some, it actually holds the relationship or the bond to be even stronger.
Can I speak on something?
Yes, you may.
I appreciate you. Let's say I date a woman, and we play the 90-day rule. After 91st, 95th day, we have sex, and it's whack. Or she smells. She stinks. I'm mad as hell. I'm feeling like
I
just
you.
Wasted.
I like you. I can rock with you.
I just wasted my motherfucking time with this bullshit. You know your
shit's
sick.
Absolutely.
And
that's what
yourself.
I'm talking about.
You know? And you made me wait. And you just wanted to be whined. You wanted to be courted. You put me through all this fucking bullshit. And now I'm mad. And you know what? A woman like you make niggas lie. Okay? Make brothers lie to you.
Exactly.
All right? So now I'm pissed the fuck off.
Say it again. Please.
Shit. You women, let me tell you something. You women who are like that, I drop kick the fuck out of you, okay? Spiritually, emotionally, okay? I drop kick you, and I pray. When we do, you know what? Women like you, when it comes to oral sex, that's when you hold her head down. You don't give a fuck, okay? You don't give a fuck about women like that. You wait until the tears come out her eyes. You do not let her come up and breathe, and she deserves that shit.
Let me just pause people right quick. So, because then I got a question I want to ask. Carlos, if you're out there listening, the conversation is getting very, very interesting. We're going there on the way down south and dirty can. So please call in at 657-383-0995. Again, that is 657-383-0995. Now, I want to talk to the people that called in last. What's your name again? Because I did not catch it.
John Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
We also have another caller. Caller, is this? Wait, there's another caller who just chimed in. Caller?
Hi.
Hi. Can you come out with your name?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, my name is Michelle.
Okay, hi, Michelle. Okay. How are you? Were you listening to the conversation? What would you like to add?
Yes, I want to go back to the pretty versus ugly thing. So I'd like to consider myself a decent, pretty woman. And I'm also the woman who wants to make sure my man has a hot plate. I want to make sure that he's well supported. I also want to earn his love. So I'm just confused as to this ugly women are better, because she may still have an ugly spirit.
I guess I'm looking for clarity on the ugly women versus pretty women.
Can I add on to what Michelle just said before you guys say anything? Because I've been quiet the whole time because I could not express how I felt, but that's exactly how I feel. And I want to add that I'm not an ugly woman, but I find that for some men, as through the course of my life of dating, I would date a guy and they could see that I wasn't ugly, but it was like, you're too good or you're not black. They
right.
would say I wasn't black. Just because I want to do things in life and because you don't think I'm black, whatever they define a black woman is, because I'm definitely a black woman. But a lot of men would tell me, you're not black. So now that I'm a turn off because I don't represent myself as a black, ugly woman, and I'm confused. I don't understand it. So, Michelle, thank you.
You're absolutely welcome, and I'm enjoying the conversation.
Let me explain, because I think I got where Derek was coming from, okay? I think I got where he's coming from, because there are a lot of attractive women out there who have very ugly spirits, okay? I mean, you can have the finest facade, and that's regardless she's 120 pounds, or, you know, for me, I like thick women, so she can be somewhere around 2-something. But she could be a beautiful face, you know, have everything going on for her physically, but... I mean, she's a gum popper, neck swinger. You know, she's trying to get in my pockets as deep as she possibly can without trying to do anything positive for herself or anyone else. Her whole goal in life is just to be mayhem. She's a Jezebel. You know, that's what in society, for some reason, has taken put that Jezebel up on a pedestal. I mean, we just sat there and I heard 3 references in the last week to Olivia Pope as being somebody everybody look up to. But do you not realize she's sleeping with the damn president and he's married? You know,
exactly.
No, she is not.
I do not watch that show at all. I don't know what the big hoopla is.
But
it's a fine woman walking out with
some power. People like she's the shit. So my question is, you know.
But what about the women like me and Michelle who are not? But what about the women? I guess I'm getting. Uh-huh.
And the question was, you're an author. You've written a book about this. And we've not yet asked you exactly, you know, I've not heard your complete idea on how you feel about this 90-day rule. I've kind of come around it, and I feel that you're not a supporter of it. But can you please give us a contrast of, you know, the 90-day rule versus what you would give advice to people on based on your book?
Okay, well, first of all, let me answer Sis's question because they both seem confused, and I'm a beautiful woman as well inside and out, so I get it. But what I'm saying is I think the brothers are saying that they're tired of women that look like us, that have stank, nasty attitudes, that think we're God's gift to the world, that don't want to give anything back in return and think that the world revolves around them. I meet women like that. I see women like that, and it is a turnoff. It is unattractive. So sometimes people just get turned off. They just go for what's unattractive because it's less drama to deal with. It's less stress. It's just a whole bunch of stuff. I talk to guys about this all the time, and I can understand as a woman where they're coming from, because sometimes I don't want the guy who's chiseled with the six-pack, who is 6 feet and God's gift to the world. Sometimes I'll take the brother who may be my height or, you know, he doesn't have a six-pack, but his mental stimulation is crazy. His spirituality is crazy. You know, he's funny as hell. He's dope. He's a hard worker versus the one who looks perfect, who doesn't have anything to bring to the table to meet with halfway. So to Michelle and to you, that's what I'm saying, Chrissy. That's my point of I think that's where they're coming from. I don't know if it came across. Brothers, did I kind of give it a clear description of where you're coming from?
You did it for me.
That's what you did, and we need to clown you.
And actually, you did. You hit it right on the nose. And there's another extension to what Chrissy is asking as well.
Like, for example, I love Christy. I love women like Christy. However, I'm at a point in my life where I know what's going to keep me at home. I know.
Right.
I know. Christy's body type. I like women like that, but I know that it doesn't hold my. It doesn't keep my attention. See, I need.
And by the way, I'm slender,
is.
So just so you'll know.
I look at when the conversation stops. See, I'm looking for that great adventure, that amusement park type of body. And a lot of times I'm going after and I'm chasing after the wrong thing because a lot of times those sisters may not have any substance inside. And it comes down to when you're a young man and even when you're an older man, but when you're a young man, you find yourself dealing with multiple women. And what you don't realize is that you're piecing different women, different aspects of women to make one woman. So by saying that, I have to be truthful. I would not, if I was to get with Christy, I would not be faithful to Christy because physically I'm desiring another body type. Christy is fulfilling my spiritual needs, you know, my emotional needs and my intellectual needs, but physically she may not bring out the best in me. And that's most important.
Let me kick back on that one because to tell a funny story. Because me and Christy, when we first met, it's been almost, 4 or 5 years now, Christy, when we first met?
Yeah.
We were introduced to each other based on the fact that a mutual friend of ours thought that we would be perfect for one another. Obviously, this person didn't know either one of us. But we get along mentally fine. But when I looked at her, I was like, whoa, she's like a 5'5". And I'm a big guy. I mean, I am a big guy. I'm on the threshold of like 280. 6 feet tall, 280. And I mean, so I'm looking at Chris, I'm like, I'll break her back. But I like this, I like the way she kicked knowledge. I love the way her spirit rolled. And if she was around 175 pounds, it would be all life to her. But you know, and you talk about these body types and this and that, and we also gotta, you know, and all these other different attributes are coming in and we get and you got people coming down trying to put a rule on us. So, I mean, it's just crazy to me. So, Michelle,
well, you know, this is where I think we need to have more open minds because as a woman, I mean, usually the relationships that have been best for me, I can't say I looked at that guy and was like, oh, he's GQ, you know. But I guess for me, I want something meaningful in my life, so if the man is underweight and more than what I would like or he's not buffed, I'm okay with, I mean, you know, at my age, I'm an older woman, I'm 40, so maybe I've gotten past the stage of he has to be 6'10 or whatever. I want someone who can grow with me in life, who's gonna encourage my entrepreneurship, who's going to say, baby, get up, you got stuff to do today. You know, I can look past you not having, you know, a buff body. I don't know. That's just me, but everybody has their own.
I hope that everybody can hear the problem that's what's going on right now, and I'm enjoying the dialogue. See, here's a brother. I'm posing as a brother that's telling you I don't want to cheat on you. I'm telling you this indirectly. I'm telling you what's going to keep me home. All right. Instead of trying to find the short, instead of trying to find the long way to get home, I know what's going to. I know what type of woman is going to make me run home and find a short way home. And that's what's important. See, there's a difference. I'm hearing where Christy is coming from. I'm hearing where women like Christy are coming from. And I think that's why we're a little different in our worlds when it comes to men and women. I don't think women, and I think, and it's, in a way, I think this is part of the reason why you have a lot of homosexuality out there, because there's a lot of women out there that are confusing men, and you have a lot of men trying to be like you. I can't, and I'm not going to be like you. See things like you.
But can I ask you a question? You said that the woman has to keep you home, so she's got to be spiritually connected, and she has to weigh at least 170 pounds or more. All I'm saying is that
I didn't say that. That was just an ideal factor there.
Now,
yeah.
I have dated smaller women. I've dated much larger women.
I'm not
what
shallow
I'm
like that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is,
you know,
if you meet a woman, okay, and I've seen this in my own family, where if you meet a woman and she's healthy for you, okay, she connects with you spiritually, she may not be Halle Berry, she may not be ugly either, she might be in between, she might be pretty in the face, she might be slender, or she could be big and pretty in the face. She could come in a variety of appearances. But what I'm saying is, don't you think at a certain point in life, it should be, I don't know how to say it. I just think your mentality, you have to say, okay, look, I may not get that woman that does something to me that makes me take a shortcut home, but this woman is a substance, and she makes me want to come home. Even if she don't have a BBW body, I mean, that's just, you know, I know men are visual, but I just wonder at some point, do we ever get beyond that to what is going to be of substance to us in life? That's just something I wonder.
And yes,
you
many ask, of us
can,
men do. Yes, many of us do that.
You can flip that question around because a lot of guys, even, you know, I'll be 41 here in 2 weeks, and, you know, and I can consistently ask this question to myself, when am I going to start coming across women who are materialistic? Now, I don't know why I keep trying to run into them or whatever, because, I mean, I'm trying to avoid them with a passion. I want somebody who is, you know, is looking toward a, you know, who's idealistic, who's somebody who's spiritual. And like I said, I was playing a pun there when I was talking about the 175 deal, because I just literally deal with any type of woman, particularly now that I'm getting older. But the thing is, you know, you find that, you know, there's a lot of selfishness I find out there, a lot of selfishness. And I deal with it personally on, you know, through the relationships that I've had. So I might be a little bitter. But I really would like to go back because Michelle, are you still on?
No, I think Michelle has dropped.
Yes, I have to go back to her.
Okay, well, everybody, John Vies has to go, but I would like for her to tell people about her book before she leaves. If you're out there and you hear this, please go out and purchase it.
All right, well, thank you so much for having me.
SingleSexyAndSatisfied.com, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. SingleSexyAndSatisfied.com. You can have the find the book, the e-book. I also have a fitness DM there. I'm also a trainer for 13 years, so you can go on there and find my DVD if you need to work out, keep that body tight. Also, there's a bunch of other goodies on there, my bio, my Good Day New York segment, my TV segment, and over 40 videos on links after that. So keep in touch. Also, Facebook.com, Fit Sexy Life, and that's it. So you guys have an awesome day. God bless
you.
And nice talking with
you.
Thanks, Chrissy, for coming to the meeting. You're welcome.
Thank
okay.
You.
Bye-bye.
Well, we got 15 minutes left in the show. So let me ask her. Let me go back to Ola. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Now,
hello.
You know, from a brother's standpoint, we've been talking about, have you come across this same, you know, entitlement feeling that you across with women? Have you come across that same entitlement feeling?
No, I understand where you're coming. Trust me. I'm the kind of guy, I have no preference, like in terms of either body or, you know, like beauty. It comes down to, am I feeling this person? You got what I'm saying? So I have dealt with, like, big women. I've dealt with big women. I've dealt with skinny women. I've dealt with ugly. I've dealt with fine. When I say ugly, I'm talking about, like, to my standard. You get what I'm saying? To someone else, the girl could be fine, but to me, she wasn't fine to me. But my girl right now, like, she's very fine, okay? Like, according to other guy standards, they tell me she is gorgeous. But she also gives the same cast, I mean, like, the same qualities that you were just talking about, like, you want with a woman, like, with an ugly woman. She cares. She cooks. She wants to earn my – she actually earned my love. She worked so hard to make sure she got it. She wasn't, like, all pompous, like all Miss Diva. And she likes to take care of herself as well. You know what I'm saying?
You got a woman, so not every woman, got a woman that cooks. You got a woman that cooks,
yeah.
And she look good, too.
And she looks good. So that's not, like,
wait, she, hey, wait, not, she from this? She from this country?
Okay. Well, she was born.
There you go.
Okay, she was born here. She was born and raised here, but she's from Haiti. Her parents are from Haiti.
Oh, see, now that's different. That's a whole different mindset.
Okay. No, but though before that, but I've also had another girl who's actually African American. Okay.
You're not with her. You with the Haitian right now.
No,
you're not talking about
was...
the one you used to be with.
Okay. No, the one I was.
Don't play that. So you playing now. Don't try to. You're doing a Steve Harvey right now.
No, the one I used to be with, the only reason why we're not together is because I moved and she doesn't want to move. You know, and I'm not going to try, I don't want to change someone's, their career, their life when I am not, I'm not willing to move. So I'm like, okay, it's okay. We went separate ways. If it was meant to be in the future, during that time, it was meant to be that we come back together. Sure, I'm sure we would pick up from where we left off. But unfortunately, I met my gorgeous girl now. So I'm happy where I'm at right now.
So actually what you're saying is your girl that you have right now, she does have some competition, though.
Oh, she doesn't have competition at all.
Put yourself in that trap. Don't walk into that trap. They're going to get you.
She doesn't have any competition because that's what I'm saying. Like, once you're content, the moment you're content, that's what matters.
But you have to admit, you and this other girl, you really do have some unfinished business.
Oh, I'm already, my business was finished the moment I was done. Huh? Once you decide, the moment you decide, hey, let's go separate ways, sometimes like the problem, like, why do people always have to have a relationship, and if it doesn't work out, it has to end up being an hostile situation that you cannot be friends with whoever you were in a relationship with. You try
because
that's
you
a
had
work.
Sex.
That's a very good
because you had
that's a very
sex.
Good question to ask. Because a lot of people work because they break up. That it has to be a negative situation.
It doesn't have to. You tried an experience. It's an experience through life. You experienced it with one person, and the person that you end up not being with, it's not like they made you worse or be the worst person. They made you. They actually helped you be better. So the next relationship you're in, the things that you didn't know that you didn't learn. I mean, you learned. It helps you in your next relationship to be the better person, to have a better relationship.
So there's there's a deeper aspect, though. If you, let's say, it's, okay, here you go. My ex-wife asked me to meet her friend, and I asked her, does your friend want to sleep with you? So she tried to sidestep the question by saying, I guess so. I said, why would I want to meet a guy that wants to fuck? Okay, now, you and your ex-girlfriend, y'all slept with each other, and y'all still friends. To me, she is still poses a threat to your girlfriend because you're familiar with her and she's familiar with you. Y'all didn't break up on bad terms. Y'all broke up basically because of living situations. So
that's what comes down to the individual. If you know that you already moved on with your own life, and you've said, hey, I've moved on, I'm with someone else now.
Right.
If you go back and cross that line, saying that because, me and my ex, we didn't fight for us to break up. Life just didn't work out the way we expected. That's the reason why we're not together. And you then say, I still have a chance with my ex, while you're in a current relationship, then you yourself are the problem. Because that means you do not know when to say, hey, I've moved on. I've decided that era has ended. Being friends and being girlfriend and boyfriend or being a wife or a husband and a wife, once that relationship has changed from that level and say we're just friends, then you keep it as friends because you've moved on.
And that's a problem.
Hold on one second. Do we have a guest caller out there? I see a 678 area code. Is there a guest caller on the line? Hello? Hello, guest caller? Okay, guys, go ahead. Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hi,
okay,
I'm
with the 678 phone number. Here. I'm out of Atlanta.
So, like I was saying, that's what I was just...
Go ahead and introduce yourself to the caller who's out of Atlanta.
Yes, I'm Denise. Denise from Atlanta.
Hi, Denise. Do you have any comments you'd like to make?
Well, I was listening to the first part of the whole conversation. Now you guys are talking about something totally different. But the 90 days and who looks better than who and everything, I think once you get to a certain age, then those things change, I think. And you know what? And not for everybody.
Yeah.
But I do believe that when I was younger, that the physical and what other people thought of who I was dating and what I was seeing with was important to me. So that made a difference on who I dated and how I looked at relationships. But now that I'm older, I think that love kind of overrides that whole thing of, oh, he doesn't look that good, or that's not a Beyonce girl.
Right. Denise, how long did it take you to come to that conclusion?
Say that again.
How long did it take you to come to that conclusion? At what point in your life did you see
something different? I don't think I would have came to that conclusion by myself. I think I was helped to come to that conclusion with some of the great people I was in relationships with.
Thank you.
Got you.
Are you married now,
Denise?
Yes. Yes, I'm married. And I've been married for 30 years. I met my husband, and we slept together with each other on the first night we were together.
Wow, 30 years. What's the, can you share with me?
I was waiting for one of those callers.
What is the secret to be in a lasting relationship for 30 years?
What's the secret?
Your secret in your situation and your marriage. What have you seen? What is the key ingredient, if any, for to be able to last as long as you have?
I don't think there's a secret. I think you have to be willing to be flexible. You have to be willing to learn. And you have to know that the person you married 10 years ago is not the same person that you're dealing with today.
Yeah. So you would say that marriage is definitely work, that you're going to have to work for it.
Oh, yes, definitely. If it's gonna last this long. You know, it hasn't been a bed of roses, you know, but it's been good, you know, and it has worked. So, but, you know, tomorrow we can have an argument that can, you know, we can let go and it could end in divorce after 30 years.
Right.
So you have to learn that some things are not as important. And sometimes winning every argument is not as important as a long-lasting relationship. So sometimes you have to learn to keep your mouth shut and shut up, bite your tongue. You may not want to do that at the time, but those are the sacrifices or part of what you have to put in to make that dedication.
Hey, Denise, I want to ask you a question. One question, Denise. Do you believe in, or have you at one point, and even in your marriage, do you close the candy shop? Do you put a padlock on it and have a list of demands?
I have before. Do I think it works and is it healthy? No, it's not.
Thank you.
But I have before. So to be honest, I have done that before because, you know, I mean, literally sometimes closing the candy shop is the only thing that will get male's attention sometimes.
Well, let me ask you, since you were honest on that note, and I appreciate it. Actually, I love you for it. Do you also notice that sometimes when women close the candy shop, they don't know no other way how to fight? or express their feelings or articulate their feelings?
I'm sure that's for some women, yes. But, oh, yeah, because there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of power in opening up the candy shop and closing the candy shop. You know what I mean? There's a lot of power in both of those, whether you got the key to open it or if it's just padlocked shut. So,
Can I ask a question and say something on that note? So when the woman closes the candy shop because she wants something to be done, isn't she taking a risk with the relationship that she has? Like the love, if the guy really doesn't love her, isn't that a more reason why the guy might want to step out and say, well, if you're going to close the candy shop, I can get another candy shop out there and not do half the work I'm doing right now with you and still keep the woman aside?
Oh, for sure, like, but there's always two sides to a coin, you know.
Yeah.
So while he's doing that, then he still has to think about what the hell she's doing while he's doing somebody else. So,
yeah. And
you know,
the risk that she runs,
but you're playing a game. So there's a risk that she runs by doing that.
Yeah.
So it has to be...
10 minutes left in the show. Good time check there. So with that being said, I thank you, Denise, because I'm glad somebody finally called. Somebody called in and asked that, because I was hoping somebody was going to ask that question.
I'm glad, and I applaud you.
And I praise God for the fact that you've had 30 years worth of marriage. I don't think I'll ever get that. You know. I think I'm getting too old to ever make 30 years somewhere, because I've been married twice. But I praise God that your marriage continues to grow and be healthy, and that, you know, and you can pass on that knowledge to younger women. So with that being said, just doing a little housekeeping here. Next week on our show, we will be talking about dumb shit that we do, and you know, basically the glorification of ignorance, and that means a lot of different things. You know how we utilize terms like ratchet and trifling and this, that, and it's come somewhat popular term. So next week we'll be talking about that. And so I want everybody that's listening in, be prepared to listen in next week, because that's surely to be as much of a fun of a show as this show has been. I would like to thank all of our guests who've come on. Ola, I thank you for your perspective. Well, I hope we can get
thank
you back on some other topics, because it seems like you have you're a very insightful person. We hope we can get you to come back to Down South and Dirty.
Yeah. Appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
You know, so you got anything that you want to take out
Denise,
that hall
are you
right
still there? Yeah, Denise, I want to ask you, do you snoop?
Do I snoop?
Yes. Do you snoop? Have you snooped?
Oh, no. You mean like going through phones and stuff like that?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I don't go through phones. Now, I have looked at receipts and kind of tried to figure out what day was that and what time was that. So, you know, but not a snoop. I don't go in my husband's pocket and go looking for stuff. Those things will be revealed. And I don't know.
Over time.
They'll be revealed over time. So I don't think a woman has to snoop. I think that's you're looking for something. And if you look for shit, you're going to find shit.
Yeah,
and deal with shit.
And
deal with the shit, okay.
Many women look for stuff, but they're not ready to deal with what they find. So you're extremely hurt. You don't even know what you found most of the time. When you snoop it, find a receipt that can say one thing, and your mind will take you in a totally different
mindset,
direction.
Yeah,
and it may not even be that.
Yeah.
Don't go snooping, because if you find something, if you're looking for something, you're going to find it.
When we close out this show, can both of your answers?
Here, I'm kind of like taking a back seat because I feel like, I don't know, I just never feel like when it comes to this topic I ever quite understand people's mentality. And maybe that's why people say I'm not black. I just think we need to uplift ourselves, and we need to – I think we need to start looking at the circle of people we run with, because I think if you put yourself in a certain environment, you can meet beautiful women who are good to you. You can meet ugly women that are good to you. I just don't believe that you have to go out looking.
Sam, beautiful and ugly, it's putting people in a box and in a category.
Yeah.
What's beautiful to me may be absolutely horrid to you. You know?
Yeah.
So saying beautiful and ugly, I think we need to first maybe kind of clarify exactly what you mean by that.
And then, you too, I feel like we need to stop saying that if you don't have education, you're, you know, I've dated people from all different spectrums of life, and I just don't believe that. I believe there's people who are educated who have a good heart. There are people who are educated who don't have a good heart. I believe there are people that are from the hood that are smarter than some people that I know that are educated. I just don't think that there is a generalization, and I think, to me, it's kind of like we limit ourselves when we say, don't look for this because it'll be this. I really think it comes down to where you what you set your sights on, and I think if we broaden our horizons and kind of give and put ourselves in environments where we know we want to meet certain type of people, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if I want to meet someone that has good intentions, then I got to put myself around other people that have good intentions, people that I know.
Yeah.
I know all you guys, I know you all have good intentions. So if I'm going to start wanting to meet more of those people, that means I got to start going to more events that you guys invite me to or go to. That's just how I look at it, but I could be wrong, but that's just how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right there, Christy. You're right, because a lot of the things that we deal with because of our purpose, or we deal with because of successes that people put us on. And I'm hoping that next week, because, you know, this kind of segues very good into next week's show, because a lot of the dumb shit we do it because of the fact that we done got normalized into doing dumb shit and not thinking about the positives that we can do. Well, with that being said, people, it was a good show. I appreciate everyone that came on again. Hope that everybody listens next week. And if you happen to miss some of the show, you can always go back to the link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/downsizeanddirty, and you can find all of our shows listed there. You also, I would like to point y'all out, go to Google and Google Harlem ATL. That's one word. That's on the blog for our co-host Derek Timms there. He has some very insightful stuff that you know, that'll kind of get you into the mind of where our wonderful co-host is. And also, I want to give a special shout-out to my producer and also co-host Christy Harvey, because she was running the board today, because I'm setting up new gigs in Stone Mountain. So I appreciate her from up in Philadelphia running the show. And this is Down South and Dirty with Sal Smith, and I appreciate you all. And I have a wonderful, wonderful day.
HarlemATL.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ola.
Thank you.
Bye,
everyone. You're welcome. Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, appreciate you, Ola. Please come back.
You're welcome, bro. You're welcome.
Definitely.
All right.